So this is an opportunity to keep this alive among us and to be hearing of the kind of concerns you have for the community, ongoing concerns and new ones. Many people in this church are involved in all kinds of ways. College students do all sorts of outreach in the community. Lots of us as individuals have areas of work and commitment in the community. To bring these together and share these among us again is a useful and practical and necessary way of carrying out this commitment. We hope you'll grab a cup of coffee at the coffee hour and come. I think we're going to be upstairs in the couches room because it's got a busy place next Sunday morning. But bring your coffee up there and we sort of assure you that within an hour we will have this conversation with opportunity for everyone to speak and to be heard, not all at once, but in some individual ways. And so please come and please be thinking about this ongoing commitment to being active in our community the way that this church always is. Thank you.
I just wanted to bring to your attention that in the pews are our offerings for the peacemaking offering. We'll be collecting the offering this week and then dedicating it next Sunday on, it's World Communion Sunday. Please make a offering. You can use these special envelopes, and if you're not prepared to do that today, you can do it next week and we'll dedicate it next week.
Good morning. I just wanted to thank everyone that came out for AIDS Walk yesterday. It was a big success. We had almost 40 people from our church. So thank you again for everyone that came, that walked, that supported, and it was noticed. There were people from my work and otherwise that came up that said there's just such a great showing from churches, and I think it's really important for outreach and HIV. And I think our church probably had the biggest showing, so I think that says a lot about everyone here. So thank you again. Appreciate it.
And you can look and dance. So you can have another whenever you have a chance. You can see the insert with all details about other events going on in the church. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. Let us come to the place of safety. Enjoy the protection of God and enjoy the grace we have in Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please rise and join me as we sing.
Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come. just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come. Confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, because he is fair and just. Let us come to the Lord in a time of silence to share our needs and our prayers, and then praying together the prayer of confession. Saving and transforming God, your call on our lives left us out for sin and brokenness to be witnesses to your hope and joy and love. Too often we are quiet in the face of need to show forth your love and love, too timid to share your good news in the word or deed. Forgive us our fear and lead us forth to speak your salvation in community and family, in city and the world. Help us to live in the manner of our Lord, to see Jesus in all we encounter. Forgive us when we fall short, and strengthen us for the fullness of life, which you call from each of us. The Song of Confession, number 2257, Come and Fill Our Hearts. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgive you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
For the anthem, we're going to do a psalm that might be familiar to some of you. We're going to project the words and invite you to sing along as you care to or just listen.
The world began, the stars they sang, and all the angels shouted for joy, shouted for joy. And looking back through history, our people, they have always had a song they must sing, a song they must sing. We are the people of God. We'll sing your song. Here on the earth, all over the world, your song will resound. All over the world, your praises ring out. We're living to see your name and renown. All over the world, all over the world, your song will resound. Join in your song, join in your song. Every nation, tribe, and tongue, come together, join as one. Give glory to God, glory to God. We are the people of God. We'll sing your song. All over the world,
Worship band. We'll be hopefully singing that as a congregational hymn down the road as well. This is the time in our service that we share joys and concerns of the community and our world, and we invite you to share concerns and joys that you would like to share with the rest of us and have us pray for in our service today and as we go into this week. Nicholas is going to run it.
First of all, thank you. Does that work? Yeah. Thank you for the prayers for my sister in Colorado, my Christmas Eve sister, Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, Christine. This will be the first anniversary of her son's death, and there is a memorial service tree planting that was supported by all the cousins that will take place midweek. So I would ask that you keep Mary and her family in prayer.
Hi, I'm Judy, and I'm new at this church. I'm going to be joining the church. I'm a cancer patient, and I have a form of terminal non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and my life has done a 360 in the past 3 weeks. I'm apartment hunting. I'm looking for an apartment that will accept a Section 8 voucher, and I just need prayer with my health issues. I started a new regimen of meds for a form of terminal non-Hodgkin's. And there's a big walk-a-thon next weekend at 9 a.m. down at the Convention Center for Making Strides Breast Cancer Walk, American Cancer Society. And the money raised goes for research for one of the meds I'm on. So if anybody would feel free to attend it and help out, it would be a blessing. And please pray for me. Thank you.
Please pray for my daughter's success on her new job. She starts tomorrow. It wasn't easy getting a job at 50.
Which daughter, Dan? Which daughter?
Andra, the young one. The kid.
The kid.
Just like prayers, I'm headed actually to Ethiopia next Saturday. I'm going with Heidi Abendroth, who some of you may know. She used to come to this church. She now goes to City Life Church up in Boston. And so we're actually going on a medical mission trip to Ethiopia for a week. They asked if they needed any more doctors, so I volunteered. So just prayers on that trip, and hope everything goes well. Thanks.
Continued prayers for Betty Sears, who is recovering from open heart surgery. She is the mother of my sister-in-law, and she's doing much better, and she's recovering in rehab over in its Summit Rehab and Nursing Center. So prayers for her.
I seek prayers for the family of my friend Clayton Farrow, who died this last week. He has three daughters. His wife died last September. He suffered two broken hips in December and January, and then this other illness took him.
I'd like to thank you for prayers for the stated clerk, David Mears. We thought he was doing better, but unfortunately he passed away Wednesday night. So I'd like prayers for his wife, Clancy, and his daughter and his son. And continued prayers for Walter.
I want to say thanks to God for the trip I took to Africa, Liberia, to be in Southwest Africa. and I got back over the weekend. Well, I will be going back on Thursday. And the reason I'm going, the president of Liberia asked me to serve in her cabinet, and I discussed that with my family, and I accepted the position. I will be flying to Liberia on Thursday. I'm asking the church to pray for me.
I'd like to thank the congregation for your prayers, and as we celebrated the reopening of the Fisher Student Center on Bryant's campus, it was a great day. We had great weather, and it was a wonderful celebration. Great to see the students using the space exactly as we hoped they would. And I also have a concern. I just found out from my sister that my nephew's daughter was just diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, and so prayers for them as they try to figure out what the next steps are and how best to help her. Her name is Nola.
I'd like to have prayers for the guidance counselor I work for. Her name is Julie, and she had asked me to pray for her to make good choices in her life. She's an adoptive parent. Has a little girl who's in third grade from Russia. Her name is Nadia. And I think with her caseload that she counsels all these students, I mean, she has a lot of decisions to make for the children, too. So prayers for Julie.
Good morning. Unfortunately, today it's a sorrow. Please pray for my oldest daughter's classmate and colleague. His name is Neil. He was shot twice in Kenya, but he lived. His wife didn't survive her wound. She is from Korea, and hope you pronounce your name right. King Moon. So just pray for the family, and I don't know how he will live, because now, you know, if I wouldn't go there, everything would be fine, so.
I will ask for prayer for my family as I'm going early in the morning to bring them on the road to be here with me until January. So I ask for prayer for our trip with two cats and two kids. So just pray for us. Let us pray together. Merciful God, we thank you for creating an open door that nobody can close in our face. And every time we have troubles, we can come to you anytime. We thank you that in Jesus Christ you give us the opportunity. We can knock on your door, not because we deserve, but because of your grace. You give us the opportunity to lift us up, even when we do bad things to ourselves. We thank you that Jesus Christ came to lift our souls and body and spirits. We thank you in Jesus Christ you brought us. You are closer to our humanity, and you understand all kind of suffering and joy, all kind of problems and success in humanity. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with all our troubles that we can hear on the news or see on TV, or we can hear from all our friends all over the world. We pray there are many places we cannot name them in this short prayer, but all these places of war and hate and crime and violence, you know all these places. And we ask for your peace, we ask for your truth and justice to everybody. We ask to give us the voice that bring people together and not divide people. We ask you to help us to be your people, even when we are troubled by our own suffering and struggles. As we pray for people who are suffered from the terrorist attack in Kenya, we pray for Elena's daughter, friend, Noel. We pray to be with the family, to be with friends who are affected by all this news. We pray for everybody who still struggled the loss of the tragedy that they witnessed last week. We pray for people in Iraq who lost their life while they were waiting for support. We pray for people all over Middle East and all over here and everywhere. We pray for healing. You promised us every time we come to you, you will listen and you will help us. Listen and you will help us. So help us to see your hand when you heal our spirits. Help us to see your hand when you heal our bodies. And help us to wait when it's time to listen and to work as a people of God. We pray for healing for Jackie and Leticia, to stay with them and keep healing them. We pray for comfort for Pastor Hope and Chris, to be with them in this hard time. You promised us you can wipe every tears from our eyes, and you are like a mother that comforts her children. And we all need this comfort, and we know there are special people we want to put in your hand today to comfort them because of their loss and because of their grief. We pray for people who are really looking for some support. We pray, as we heard from Zach today, we pray on his new journey and his new decision. While we are happy to hear this news, we are at the same time struggling to see one of our churches going far away. But you remind us, we are a church that always on the move and a church that sends people all over the world. So help us to celebrate when we send people everywhere, and help us to stay, support them whenever they need us. We pray for Dan's daughter, Andrea, and we thank you for her new job. We ask you to be with her on her new journey. We pray for Phil on his journey to Ethiopia with his medical team, and pray for blessing as they approach people socially and spiritually and physically. Give them safe trip and be with them. Let them be your light. Let them be your salt in this world. We pray for Betty Sears and for healing and for support. We pray for Pastor Glenn Clayton and family for the support of their loss, for relatives who are going through this grief. As we pray for the loss of Pastor Dave Myers from the Senate, we pray for the family and for the wife and the children. Be with them and support them. Keep all these people in your hand, God, as we lift everybody with sickness, and especially those we mentioned in our concern. We're asking you for blessing, grace, love, and safety. We pray for healing of mind, body, and spirit of those who are going through health problem, and for those who care for them. We also ask you to be close to those who have lost someone, to comfort them. We pray for our church and for our mission to stay a place where hope could be found and where hope could be felt and where hope could be seen. Help us to be your place every day and not only on Sunday. And help us to remember we are not doing this on our own, but we have a Heavenly Father who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debts. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children up for a message this morning. Children's message? You, oh my goodness, you ran right up here. Well, we'll give you a little star. There you go. Hey, actually, they're not stars, they're hearts. They're hearts. You can have one, because I think I only have enough for everyone, and I think I'm going to ask Elliot if he would help me pass out hearts to people. One to each person. You have one. I gave you one. All right. There you go, Marcella. There you go. There, Evan. Okay. Why do you think I'm giving you guys hearts today? Helena, why? It's for God's love. You are so smart. That's so great. That is so great. It is indeed for God's love. You didn't get one. There you go. Thank you. It says in the Bible, it says in the Bible that we love because God first loved us. And we're going to be talking a little bit later in the worship service with your parents and some of the older kids that are here about what it means to do that, how we do that. Because the Bible talks a lot about how we show God's love, right? Some of you might remember stories about that somewhere, right? Yeah? Do you remember one, Masara? What? You forgot. Okay. Well, I'm going to remind you of a couple of them. There are two places in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, that talk specifically about the ways that we show that love. And one of those ways is when we meet someone who has a need. When we visit someone who's sick, and we just heard about some people who are sick that need our prayers and need our visits, and we encourage and we see God when we visit those people. But another way that we see God's love and live God's love is when we baptize people and when we teach people to learn about God's love and to see God's love and to learn how to live that in the world. And those are some of the ways that we show God's love in what we call mission, the whole of what we do as a church. So I want you to remember first of all, that God is love, and we love because God first loved us, and you can remember that by looking at your little heart that we'll give you all. We'll give this little guy a little heart, too. And let's say a prayer that we might discover new ways that we, too, can show God's love. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you want us to love everyone else. Be with us, we pray, that we might show that love, that we might learn about that love, that we might grow in that love each and every day of our lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may go down to your classes, and the high school class, I think, is upstairs this morning. You didn't get one. We need a red one for you so it shows.
I want to remind you about the app rooms. If you have a baby and you want to sit with the baby, you still can listen to everything. And you can have your privacy up there.
Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 125, verses 1 through 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time on and forevermore. Our New Testament lesson is from Matthew chapter 5, 25, verses 31 through 40, and Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when it was that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord.
Our life is in the Lord. It is in the love of the Lord that enables us to be loving towards others. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit on these, your people, on the words that I speak, on the meditations of all of our hearts, that they may be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. For the confirmation retreat last weekend, Pastor Ginny asked our youth to come and bring a favorite Bible verse or story to share with one another. If I were to ask you to pick your favorite Bible verse or story, particularly one which speaks to you about who we are as to be a church in mission, you might well choose one of these two passages. But likely one of them might be more dominant in your choosing than the other to reflect your own passion for mission. This was brought home to me several years ago when I had a conversation with one of my former co-pastors here, and we realized when we were talking about mission and the passages of Scripture that inform us that we chose these two separate passages, and we found that fascinating. We found that difference and the passion that we had for each amazingly electric in the ways in which it came together to a powerful dynamic of respect and challenge to one another, where we could learn from one another and grow as we lived into those differences. I would call them social justice and evangelism mission. And I would say that they are both essential to the work of God's church. Now, for some of you, you may be already starting to tune out on me here in this sermon and saying, what's the big deal? They both fit together perfectly. I'm not going to take a poll here in the congregation and not going to make you raise your hands, but I think there may be some of you here who may hold one more passionately than the other. And I would suggest to you that many a church war has been fought over debating which one is really, really mission. Telling the good news of Jesus Christ in baptizing and making disciples, or tending one-on-one to the needs of God's children. Perhaps you've even engaged in combat over that as well. I've been inspired recently by the way in which Pope Francis has been speaking out about the core values of the faith that we share as a Christian church. If you haven't read the transcript of his extensive interview, which is getting a lot of publicity these days, that he held forth in August, I urge you to look for it and to take time to ponder the vision he is setting forth. Among many things, he says, the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. Instead of being just a church that welcomes and receives by keeping the doors open, let us also try to be a church that finds new roads. That is to step outside of itself and go to those who do not attend Mass, to those who have quit or are indifferent. The ones who quit sometimes do it for reasons that, if properly understood and assessed, can lead to return. But to reach out in that way takes audacity and courage, he says. Here at PPC, at Providence Presbyterian Church, we have passionate advocates of both these perspectives on mission, and it should be that way. After all, both of these texts are powerful words that Jesus commands in our scripture in Matthew's gospel. I appreciate this church's current mission statement, which clearly underlines, celebrates, and seeks to live into both of these perspectives. It is who we have been in the past, and the passion is what makes us strong as we live into crafting a church which embodies both. We strive to use our myriad gifts and resources to share God's message of love while enriching the spiritual growth of each individual and serving the needs of our diverse community and the world. A dynamic fullness of God's work for us to embrace, as well as to have frequent debates about it. This series of sermons that we have been preaching in August and September on the great ends of the church and our current in-between time inevitably lead us to reflect what really matters about our faith and mission? What are the core values that we as a church, as individuals in the church, seek to live out in mission? And where do we seek to grow in that? We can be challenged by these two texts to live and grow in such mission. In Matthew 25, Jesus challenges us to meet the particular, the one-on-one, to see Christ in the other, to step outside of our comfort zones, to meet the needs of those who are in need, not just when it's convenient for us, but wherever we find ourselves. For all of us are one family created by God. And when we do so, we see Christ in the other. Last year on a Sunday, about a dozen of our folks from this church walked in the 27th annual AIDS Walk that Phil referenced earlier today. We made that an intentional choice to invite people to be not only here on Sunday morning in worship together, in nurture, in sharing together the faith, but also to be outside these walls, to be walking in our faith. This year we were blessed to have a Saturday walk, and yesterday 36 of us walked, all ages and background, a living witness to the needs of our community and the church's call to reach out with care, love, and support and encouragement to make a better world. There's a picture of all who walked from our church on the mission bulletin board in the Hope Room this morning. Kayla McClurg writes in a devotional that I read from earlier in this month, "Have you noticed that Scripture doesn't spend a lot of time telling us how to feel as we live as this new creation that God has created in us? It simply says, here's what you do. Entertain strangers. Put yourself in their skin. Walk in their shoes. Prisoners, too. And people being tortured, the whole of suffering humanity. And it says, don't try this alone. Yoke yourself to Jesus and to one another." She says, "I keep forgetting that part, that the you in Scripture is more often plural than singular. Together, we can do great things for God. And in that, we see Christ, we meet Christ, and we are made whole and never the same again." Matthew 28, the end of Matthew's gospel, closes on a very global view. Jesus concludes his challenge in Matthew with the Great Commission, the call to spread this gospel message and make disciples, baptizing and teaching to the ends of the earth. It was very exciting yesterday to come home from the AIDS walk and flip on my email, as I am wont to do, and to see the letters that we're asking for mentors from this church to walk with our confirmation class in that journey. A living illustration of what this sermon was all about. Each youth in the confirmation class has looked around this congregation at the members you are, and is asking you to accompany them on a journey they are taking this year. They are specifically requesting some of you for this journey that they will take in learning what it means to be a disciple of Christ and a member of this church. It's a large class for us, about a dozen strong, and I hope you will hold in prayer, whether you're asked to be one of their mentors or not, all of them as they journey through this time of growing and learning in their faith. I hope that the mentors who have been asked to serve will be open to that call in their life, even if it scares you a little bit. Even if you may feel that you haven't figured out everything you need to know about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that is the journey. To disciple these youth, to speak the good news of Jesus Christ as we have heard it, and to share our faith joyfully with one another. We live in a changing world. That is clear every time we open our worship service to the joys and concerns of this congregation and the world, a world where it is often difficult to see where and how God is at work, and yet every week we hear new calls to serve God in the world. The closing of Matthew 28 echoes loudly and strengthens us today, reminds us always that Jesus says, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Like the psalmist proclaims in one of our Psalms of Ascent that we are studying through these months as well, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore." Later in October, the World Council of Churches will consider a new ecumenical mission affirmation that has been worked on for a long time now. It's titled Together Towards Life, Mission and Evangelism in Changing Landscapes. It reads in part, "The church exists by mission, just as fire exists by burning. If it does not engage in mission, it ceases to be church." It is not the church that has a mission, the statement says, but rather a mission that has the church. The mission has a church, to find and see and serve the other and so to serve Christ, to make disciples and share good news with all God's people, taking risks and trusting God to help finish what we have started. Mother Teresa put it this way, "To do what you can, where you are, with what you have." So let us live into mission, today and all days, here and to the ends of the earth. Amen.
And now let us join together in the affirmation of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We trust in one true God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and share. And now let us give our tithes and offerings as God has blessed us. Let us give back.
Amen.
us pray. Dear Lord, please help us use our gifts and our resources to better serve you and further your mission here on earth, showing love to all those who need it. Amen.
Now to the one who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the only wise God, be glory forevermore in Jesus Christ. Amen.